أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله، صدق الله العظيم. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious and most merciful. The praise and thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise, the thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, we beg Him for His forgiveness, we believe in Him, we put our trust and faith in Him, and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has guided, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves to stray, there is no one to guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe. Take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of Him, and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe. Take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds, and He will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe. Take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best of guidance is the guidance that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Holy Quran, وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُحَاهَا, by the sun and its brightness. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as we began last week with the introduction to the explanation, the relevance, the impact of Suratul Takwir, inshallah ta'ala, we continue with explaining first some of the mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made about the sun, its mysteries, its secrets, inshallah ta'ala, so that we can come to a full understanding later when we get into the tafsir of the surah. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you mentioned, He said, وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُحَاهَا, by the sun and its brightness. As we know, الشَّمْس, the sun, we witness. We see it nearly every day. We know of it. That if it's not around, it's not day. And if it's supposed to be day and it's not around, we got problems. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this a sphere of light rising on the horizon, chasing away the darkness, second by second, bringing in the day with the dawn. What we call a day is nothing more than the rays of the sun brightening the sky. And when the sun rises, life begins. The people begin to move about the earth, waking after their slumber. The color on this earth bursts forth. The plants awaken. The flowers bloom. We also know that in this solar system, or rather, this sun system, Earth is not the only planet that is affected by the sun. Its gravity, though far-reaching, has greater influence upon those planets that are closer than those that are further away. What we may not also realize is that the magnetic fields of these planets also affect the Earth's magnetic field, especially when combined with the influence of the sun's gravitational force upon the Earth. Now, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, without delving too deep into this subject, being that doing so may cause a great deal of you to stray from the path. And this is where the responsibility of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with something of knowledge, that responsibility of how to share it and when to share it also shows up. Know your audience. That is one of the rules. Some of you are listening, some of you are half listening, some of you just started listening. And being that this subject touches upon astrology, not astronomy, astrology, it's very important that we proceed with caution. Some of you may know or may not know, according to what Aisha radiallahu anha related, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about soothsayers, astrologists, in some cases. And he replied, they are of no account. And upon this, they said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but sometimes their predictions come true. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that is a word related to the truth, meaning what they say is related to the truth, that a jinn has snatched from the angels and whispers into the ears of his friend, who will then mix 100 lines with it. This is according to the books of Bukhari and Muslim, and also narrated by Safiya bint Ubayd radiallahu anha, who said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he who goes to one who claims to know the unseen and believes in him, his salah will not be accepted for 40 days. So, reading your horoscope will result in horror. If you didn't know, now you know. However, what we are discussing today is what Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one place in the Holy Quran, he swears, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, by the sama, the heavens, or the heaven, the sky, and its zodiac, mansions. This has been, the mansions of stars has been one way it's been translated, but that there are positions in the sky that have been named, and they have relevance in that their influence upon, again, the magnetic field of the earth, and thus its influence upon everything else on it. The relationship with this has been alluded to in a very lengthy hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as reported by Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiyallahu an, when he said to Imam Ali radiyallahu an, "O Ali, when the bride enters your home, take her sandals off as soon as she sits down and wash her feet. Then pour the water on the area extending from your house door to its farthest side. If you do so, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove 70 kinds of want, or rather needs, from your house and permit 70 kinds of bliss to take their place. And he will let 70 blessings hover above her head until the blessings cover each and every corner of your home. This will also ensure her against lunacy and leprosy as long as she is with you. Do not permit the bride during her first week with you to eat or drink dairy products, meaning vinegar, coriander, and sour apples. Do not let her have any of these four things." Ali radiallahu anhu asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why should I forbid her from eating these four things?" Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "The womb becomes barren and cold due to these four things. And a mat of palm leaves in the corner of a house is better than a woman who cannot bear children." Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why should she be prohibited from enjoying vinegar?" Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied, "If she happens to have a cycle while vinegar is in her stomach, she will never be completely purified. The coriander stimulates menstruation and causes delivery to be very hard. And sour apples would interrupt her cycle and cause her to fall sick because of that." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues, "Ya Ali, do not copulate with your wife at the beginning of the month, nor at its middle, nor at its end. For either lunacy or leprosy will find their way to her and her children. O Ali, do not copulate with your wife in the afternoon with the exception of Friday after the Salah. For if she happens to conceive at this time, the baby will have squinting of the eyes. And Shaitan very much likes to see squinting in man's eyesight. O Ali, do not talk during intercourse. For if she happens to conceive, her son may turn to be dumb. And do not look at the private parts of your wife, but be modest, for looking at her private parts may cause blindness to inflict what she conceives. O Ali, do not desire your wife as you would desire some other woman, for I am afraid if she happens to conceive, her son may be a coward and more feminine than masculine, or he may be inflicted with madness. O Ali, do not cohabit with your wife unless you both have a separate piece of cloth for which to clean yourselves. And do not both of you use that same cloth, lest you mix each other's desire and that will cause enmity, or both of you to be enemies of one another and thus cause separation and divorce. O Ali, do not cohabit with your wife standing, for this is the doing of donkeys. And if you do so and conception occurs, your son will be a bedwetter, just like donkeys urinate everywhere. O Ali, do not cohabit with your wife on the eve prior to Eid al-Fitr. For if a son is born to you and he grows up, he will not be able to have children except much later in life. O Ali, do not cohabit with your wife on the eve preceding Eid al-Adha. For if she happens to conceive, your child may have six fingers or four fingers on one or each hand. O Ali, do not cohabit with your wife under a fruit tree. For if she happens to conceive, Your son will be a tyrant and a troublemaker and warlike. O Ali, do not cohabit with your wife under the shining of the sun, unless you are shielded from its rays by a curtain. For if she conceives, your child will be impoverished and miserable until death. O Ali, do not cohabit with your wife any time between the Adhan and the Iqamah. For if she conceives, your son will be blind-hearted, meaning stingy. O Ali, do not cohabit with your wife in the middle of Sha'ban. For if she conceives, her son will be deformed, bearing the marks of a curse on his hair and face. O Ali, do not cohabit with your wife at the end of either of Sha'ban, meaning its beginning, or its end. For if she happens to conceive, her baby will be born premature. O Ali, do not approach your wife desiring her sister. For if she conceives, her son will be erroneous in judgment, aiding oppressors, and he will cause harm to befall many people. O Ali, do not cohabit with your wife on the top of a roof. For if she conceives, her son will be a hypocrite, a pretender, and an innovator. O Ali, if you go on a trip, do not cohabit with your wife in the night preceding your trip. For if she conceives, your son will squander his fortune wrongfully. And Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then recited the verse, surely those who squander the wealth are the brethren of Shaitan, and Shaitan is ever ungrateful to his Lord. And then he continued, O Ali, do not cohabit with your wife if you are to embark on a journey lasting 3 days and nights. For if she conceives, her your son will be the supporter of many oppressors against you. O Ali, I recommend that you do cohabit with your wife during the night preceding Monday. For if your wife happens to conceive, your son will be a hafiz who knows the Quran by heart, accepting what Allah has given him. O Ali, if you cohabit with your wife during Monday evening, your son will be blessed with martyrdom after having bearing witness that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not expose him to his retribution with the polytheists, and his breath will be good, his heart compassionate, his tongue free of backbiting, lying, or falsely charging others. O Ali, if you cohabit with your wife on a Thursday evening, and you happen to have a son born to you, he will either be a judge or a scholar. And if you cohabit with her on a Thursday after the sun has set, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with a son by her, Shaitan will not come near him until he becomes gray-haired and he will be intelligent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him with the soundness of belief in everything related to secular and religious matters. If you cohabit with her during a Thursday evening and you are blessed with a son, he will be an eloquent orator, comprehended by everyone. And if you cohabit with her on a Friday after the salah, after the afternoon prayer specifically, you are blessed with a son, he will become a famous scholar. And if you cohabit with her during the Thursday evening and your son, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he is born to you, will be amongst the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Ali, do not cohabit with your wife during the first hour of the night. For if you happen to have a son, I am afraid that he may be a magician, preferring this life to the life to come. O Ali, learn this piece of advice from me, as I have learned it from Jibreel alayhi salam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, and as we mentioned, as we found, the different times of the month are affected by the moon and its gravitational relationship with the earth, and by the moon's position where it comes in the gravitational pull of the sun. As we know, the beginning of the month, the moon is dark, and thus it is facing the sun. At certain times, that pull is stronger upon the earth. We are creatures made 70% or more of water, and we know that that moon affects the tides. And as these things are pulled within our bodies, our humors are different. We are affected. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, simply gave us what the best times are to get the best result. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah alladhi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina faman yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna sayyidina Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, have you not looked at Him who disputed with Ibrahim alayhi salam about His Lord, because Allah had given him the kingdom? When Ibrahim alayhi salam said to Him, my Lord is He who gives life and causes death, He said, I give life and cause death. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, verily, Allah causes the sun to rise from the east, then causes it to rise from the west. So the disbeliever was utterly defeated and confounded, and Allah does not guide the people who are oppressors. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here He gives us the example of Namrud, or Nimrod. And although he was confronted with the truth, he still denied Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with great power, his arrogance was such that after Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam challenged him to bring the sun from the west, he actually gathered his army to go chase the sun and seize it and kill it, believing that he could actually do so. Later in the life of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blessed another to come to power who was righteous. And Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him control of the earth itself. And whereas the oppressor Namrud fell short in reaching the sun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him to reach both places where the sun rises and sets. One of Allah's creatures, His creation, who He had given power, his desire was to challenge the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while the other desired to fulfill the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This being Dhulqarnain, the Lord of two horns. And his story touches on another secret concerning Ash-Shams, the sun. Now, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, many of you may be aware that there is a place where the sun has only shone once. When Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather, after Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered the earth with oceans. This event being when Prophet Musa alayhi salam was commanded to beat the sea with his staff. And thus Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split the Red Sea into 12 paths for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, thus exposing the ground of the ocean and the sun shone upon it. But there is a place on this earth that the sun has never seen, and its rays have never touched. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blessed Dhulqarnain with great dominion, control, and power. And He blessed him with belief. And he blessed him with a friend among the angels. His name being Raqa'il. One day, Dhulqarnain, he asked him, how do the angels worship Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And as we know in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Raqa'il, he said the same thing, that you will not find a single span in the heavens where there is not an angel standing in prayer, bowing in prayer, or making sujood in prayer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously without stint. At this, Dhulqarnain began to weep. And Raqa'il, he said, why? To which he replied, because I wish that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give me life so that I could live long enough to worship Him as He deserves to be worshipped. Raqa'il, he said, well, if you truly wish to do so, there is a place on earth that may help you do just that. It is covered in darkness where the sun doesn't shine and never has. A place where no angel, no man nor jinn has ever been. In this place, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden Ain al-Hayat, the spring of life. So Dhulqarnain said, where? And to this he said, I don't know. This is all that I can tell you from what we speak of amongst ourselves in the heaven. So he was sick and depressed that he learned about something that could help him, but that knowledge was of no benefit because it was out of his reach. Determined and undeterred, he gathered all of the scholars, and among them being Al-Khidr, and he questioned them, seeking to find if anyone had ever heard of this place or ever heard of the spring of life. And from every scholar, including Al-Khidr, they said, no, we have no knowledge about this. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the days passed, and one day Dhulqarnain was playing with his children and their friends. And while they were playing, as a joke, he asked them, hey, have any of you ever heard of the spring of life? All of the children, they smiled and said, no, except one. When he realized his child had not spoken, he asked him, and he said, yes, I know a little bit about what you're speaking of. So he told all the other children, you're dismissed, and brought him, let me talk to you. What do you know? He said, my grandfather used to speak about this with us. He said, and where did your grandfather get this information from? My grandfather said that he had read the book of Adam, alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam the names of all things. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ أَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالُوا أَنْبِئُنِي فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُنِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Surah Al-Baqarah. He said, this place was named among the names. Really, said Dhulqarnain. Yes, said, where is this place? Said, all I know is two things. It is somewhere shrouded in darkness, and it is somewhere located where the sun rises. So, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Dhulqarnain gathered his scholars again, and he asked them, have you ever heard of a place on the earth covered in perpetual darkness, or a place where the sun's rays first shine upon the earth? Again, all of his scholars, including Al-Khidr, alayhi salam, said, We have no knowledge about what you were talking. So, Dhulqarnain, he called to his generals and commanded them to assemble an army for the mission of finding the land of the rising sun and this place of perpetual darkness. He never mentioned to them that they were seeking the spring of life, nor did he mention to them what powers lie there. All they knew is their target was the dark. So he asked them, which animal can see best at night? They said, the horse. And which horse sees better among them? They said, the mares, female horses. And which are the best female horses or mares among them? And they said, those who are the virgins. So he pressed them to assemble 6,000 female virgin horses and proceed to find the dark. Dhulqarnain and his army marched with 12,000 in his army for 12 years in search of this place, pitch black, where the sun's rays have never touched. When they finally came to it, it cast fear into the hearts of the generals. And he told them, I have plans to convey this darkness, to enter it. They said, Ya Dhulqarnain, maybe you may be able to navigate it. But we have not been given such power like you. He said, I intend to do so, and I intend to take you with me. They said, please, Ya Dhulqarnain, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this to you, but we have no such power. He said, no, you are coming with me. So he divided his army. He had a portion to stay at the edge of the darkness, and he divided the remaining part to be led by him and a battalion of scholars, and the other part to be led by Al-Khidr. Because what they saw before them was too vast to be covered even with an army of 12,000 men. To each man, in order that they may find their way back, he gave them a special bead that glowed and sounded when it was dropped on the ground, so that they may hear it in the darkness and find their way back towards their camp. Altogether, amongst them, he assembled 360 men with one mission. Each of them would be given a fish. And he told them this. Each of you must return with his fish. Any and every puddle, pond, river, or well that you come to, you should stop and wash your fish in the water. But you must return with the fish. So the two groups set out in different directions. And as they entered the darkness, it was so black, so dark, they could not see their head in front of their faces, let alone see the person standing next to them. Al-Khidr, he went in one direction, by himself, and the other men fanned out. After a time, he came to a depression like a valley. He went down. Again, not being able to see. Imagine yourself. You're not seeing, you're just walking. Pitch black. When he came down, he realized that he was standing in water. So he did as he was commanded. He knelt and put the fish in the water to wash it. As soon as it touched the water, it leapt from his hands. And without thinking, he leapt after it. Dove into the water, splashing around in the dark, trying to find a fish that he could not see. After a time, he realized that his mission was fruitless. So he navigated the best way he could in the dark, back to the beacon that he had dropped at the dark, at the edge of the darkness, to find the army of Dhulqarnayn standing, waiting there, and every one of them had a fish. Dhulqarnayn, seeing him, he said, "Oh, Ya Khidr, where's your fish?" He said, "Oh, Dhulqarnayn, I did as you was commanded, as you commanded me, brother, that at each puddle and pond that I came to, I washed the fish. And I came to a place, and as soon as I set it down, it leapt out of my hands, and without thinking, I dove into the water to after it, to chase it, and lost it. So please, I beg you of your pardon, to forgive me of this." Dhulqarnayn realized that Al-Khidr had found the target. So he asked him, "Did you swim in it?" He said, "Yes." "Did you swallow any of any of its water?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Take us to this place." And Al-Khidr, he did what he was told. So they marched, all of them, into the dark. However, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the darkness kept its secret from Dhulqarnayn. Although he searched for it blindly, even with the help of Al-Khidr, for 44 days. The question is, what made him leave? Unfortunately, we must end our khutbah here. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue with this in future khutbah, inshallah, to learn the lesson that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed to Dhulqarnayn to make him bring an abrupt halt to his quest. Pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that some of you inshallah ta'ala have benefited from this khutbah, that you have learned something today inshallah that you did not know. If so, I ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you, to ask Him to bless us to continue serving His cause. And I ask inshallah ta'ala of you that you show that you mean what you ask of Allah by donating generously to His house. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless the Muslims who hear the call and answer it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless those Muslims who donate generously to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blessing it to continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expand their wealth, increase their health, and bless them, inshallah ta'ala, with Jannat al-Firdaws, the highest of all of the paradises. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وتوفنا من المسلمين ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إسرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد.